There's an unmistakable urgency you can feel when a song is written and performed from a place of complete honesty. That feeling permeates singer-songwriter Juliette Lloyd's new album, Carnival. The album is Juliette's first full-length effort since 2007. Shortly after releasing her sophomore album that year, she walked away from music completely for more than 10 years, feeling burned out and unhappy with her career progression, like so many other independent artists. After going through a divorce in 2019 and in the midst of a global pandemic, she found herself pulled back toward the siren call of songwriting and again making the leap to pursue it full time. Carnival is in many ways the culmination of those decisions and the reintroduction of an artist who now has the wisdom of experience.
This interview was recorded in October before Juliette's album came out. It is now out and available to the world.
Hi, I'm Carolyn.
And I'm Bethany.
And we are
Sisters in Song.
Today we are welcoming Juliette Lloyd to our show. We are very happy to have you here.
Welcome. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to meet with us today. We are so stoked.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Questions from today.
I believe it or not, I am in Costa Rica at the moment, which was not originally part of the plan for this week, but I was originally supposed to be in Florida for a couple of weeks on a vacation. We sort of go to the same part of Florida every year, like retirees. And unfortunately, with all of the horrible devastation across the entirety of the Southeast, the place that we were going to be in Florida was really, really hard hit. And so we had to scrap our vacation plans. And then last weekend, we were trying to figure out, okay, where can we go where the weather's got a decent chance of being okay and it's, you know, fairly inexpensive last minute. So yeah, I just got here today.
Well, awesome. Hopefully you will enjoy a little vacay away and we'll have beautiful weather. And okay, so we're going to pick your brain about your awesome upcoming new album and new single. Tell us how that all came to be and tell us all about it.
Great. Yeah. So my new album is called Carnival. It's coming out on October 25th and it was about 15 months in the making. 15 months if you count the like writing and recording process, but probably much longer than that in the making if you count the actual experiences that informed the songs and kind of my journey. This is kind of my second go around as a professional singer-songwriter. I made my first attempt in kind of the mid to late 2000s. I lived in Boston at the time and I recorded and released a couple of albums back then and got really burned out and just really kind of struggled as an independent musician and trying to do everything myself. And I just kind of felt like, oh, there's some hurdles that I'm just coming up against that I feel like I can't get over. And so I sort of walked away from music for a long time and didn't write a single song for 10 years. And then the pandemic happened and I sort of found myself reassessing, as many of us were reassessing, what's important to me and how do I want to be spending my time. And I found my way back to writing and back to performing. And I put out an EP in 2022 that was kind of my first batch of songs after the long hiatus. And it was really well received and it was sort of a shift stylistically for me as well. It kind of put me more squarely in the roots Americana space, whereas my early stuff I would say was probably more like pop jazz. So yeah, it put me more in that Americana space. And then, yeah, this album is the culmination of a lot of months of writing and of processing. And I'm super excited because I think it's a big step forward for me artistically. The songs I think are better than any songs I've written before. The production is like super interesting and unexpected. And I really went in all in on like the artwork and the photography and stuff to support it. So I'm really excited about it.
Very cool.
Can you tell us a little bit about, I'm sure you're tired of telling the story, or maybe you aren't, a little bit about the single, the story about Call Your Wife.
Call Your Wife for me was the last song that we finished for the album, and it almost just sort of slipped in right under the deadline. And it's a direct reaction to a song that I had released as a single about 4 or 5 months ago. The first single off the new album was a song called Pretty. And I wrote it about a relationship that I had when I was much, much younger that I had really tried not to think about or tried to process for a really long time, just sort of put it out of my mind and ran away from it and never talked about it. And all of a sudden it was like, you know what? I feel like the time is right. I feel like I'm ready to talk about it, to write about it. And so that's where Pretty came from. And a few weeks, after I released Pretty as a single, I got this text message in the middle of the night from an anonymous sender who, you know, you could kind of guess probably that it was somebody who disagreed with my assessment of the relationship. And it basically just said, you know, I think you're being unfair to the person in the song. My immediate reaction was like, I broke out into a cold sweat. I was like, I just, all of those sort of feelings of that relationship come flooding back. And it sort of made me not want to perform the song for a little bit. And then I got really angry. I thought, like, how dare you? You know,
yeah.
It's like, this is my, you know, this is a song. This is something that I had to say. And so that's what inspired Call Your Wife. And there's a lot of lyrical references in there that are very, very specific, but it's been amazing the reaction that I've gotten since the song came out. So many people, and this just proves, right, as songwriters, as you both know, like the more specific the song, the more everybody can relate to it magically. And so that's what I've heard a lot about that song. I've had so many women, you know, of all ages who have come up to me and said, wow, like this, I can super relate to what's in this song, which is both like as a songwriter, that makes me feel good. But as a woman and as a human being, it makes me feel not great that so many of us have this shared experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But makes it universal for people who are going through, you know, similar stories. I love the music of it. It sounds so much like a carnival, which kind of ties into your whole album. That's super cool.
Yeah. It starts and it's sort of dark and it starts, from that sort of unsettling place. And it's definitely the most carnival sounding song on the entire album. And so I'm really glad that we were, because of the way we recorded the album, it was sort of one song at a time over a really long period of time. It was nice because we were able to, you know, if I had just done kind of the traditional thing of like, okay, I'm going into the studio for 2 weeks and we're going to bang out the recording, we wouldn't have had the opportunity to, you know, have that reaction to write a new song and kind of slide it in at the last minute.
Yeah, that's neat because that kind of makes it all just sort of come together, I feel like.
Yeah,
it totally does.
Yeah, I'm glad totally. It made the album too.
Yeah.
Started in songwriting and music.
I would say I was a musician first for most of my childhood. So I started taking classical piano lessons when I was 8 years old, and I took classical lessons for probably till I was a senior in high school. So I took lessons for like 11 or 12 years and really enjoyed that. I didn't always practice as much as I should have, but it was very natural, right? I could read music really quickly and I had a really good ear, so I could pick up stuff by ear. I would, you know, listen to my favorite pop songs and try to like go to the piano and work them out. But I never really tried writing anything of my own. And I was also a trumpet player all through school. I played classical and jazz trumpet and I sang, but I never took voice lessons officially. And so I always just was sort of in choruses and bands and, but it had never occurred to me throughout my entire childhood and adolescence that like music was a thing that you could have a career in, that it was a professional pathway. And so I always sort of considered it a hobby and, you know, was part of ensembles and I did musical theater and stuff growing up. And then when I graduated from college, it was like all of a sudden I didn't have ensembles that I could be in anymore. And like I had to get a quote unquote real job. And I thought about it and I was like, well, I had gotten a degree in economics and I was like, I don't want to be an economist. I don't want to be a lawyer. Like none of this appeals to me. Like what I really want to do is try to be a musician, whatever that looks like. And I, when I was thinking about, you know, all of the artists that I really admired had all written for themselves. And so I thought, well, maybe I could try to write too. So I wrote my first song when I was 23. So I was a little bit later in life. I wish I had gotten an earlier start, but yeah, I didn't really write my first song until I was 23. And it was out of a place of like, well, I want to have something to sing and I want it to be my own, you know, my own stuff.
Yeah. So, Very cool.
That was how I first came to it.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about your songwriting process. How do you see a song kind of from start to finish?
You know, it's funny. It's changed a lot since that first song 20 years ago. It used to be that I would get an idea for a title or a hook or something and, you know, immediately set that to music, to a melody and kind of work backwards from there and sort of fill in the verses and kind of build it out, almost working like from the end. But coming back to it the second time around in my career, I've gotten much, much more interested in the craft and especially the lyrical craft of songwriting. Mm-hmm. I took a songwriting class online with Gretchen Peters, who's amazing.
Cool.
At the beginning of last year, and really just sort of changed how I approach and how I think about songwriting and honestly how much I enjoy it. I enjoy the process much more now. It's more about, for me, if I have an idea or a lyrical idea, just like sitting with it for a while, and I'll do sort of free association. She had this great, this metaphor of where it's like sort of letting your focus get wider. And so stuff that's, you know, around the edges, around the fringes, that, you know, you allow that to sort of come into focus more, instead of being like laser focused on, okay, this is the one lyric. And so I found that to be a really helpful visualization exercise when I'm writing. So I'll just kind of fill up a couple of pages of, you know, just bits of lyrics or language that relates to whatever the thing is that I had the idea for the song. And a lot of my recent songs, I've come out with just like almost a complete set of lyrics before I ever thought about the melody or the music side of things, which is very, very different from how I used to approach it.
Very,
I feel like I'm much more lyric first now than I, yeah, where I used to be sort of lyrics and music at the same time, but in a very concentrated way, and then kind of broadening out from there, if that makes sense.
It does. You know that you said with this album that you felt like you had to write it, like it came to you and you're like, okay, I have to sit down and write this. Did you have anything that you struggled with while you were doing it? Like, did you have any writer's block? And if you did, how did you kind of, or maybe like, maybe not writer's block, what's the word I'm looking for? Like subject matter, like, you know, like stalling out, I guess.
There were bits. Yeah, there was some of that for sure, especially since it took so long from start to finish. There were periods where I definitely felt more. And for me, it's also like the more I try to make a habit of it, if I just, you know, make myself at least spend 5 or 10 minutes every day trying to, and kind of taking the pressure off of like, okay, even if at the end of the 15 minutes or whatever it is, I don't have anything good to show for it, that's okay, right? It's the it's the process, it's the time spent. And so I've tried to kind of coach myself into doing that. And so I find if I can make it a regular part, then the ideas flow a little bit more easily. But there were definitely times over the course of writing the album where it would be a couple months would go by, and then it's to the point where you start to doubt yourself. And for sure, I went through a 10-year writing dry spell where I almost was afraid to sit down and try to write, because it's like, it just felt so insurmountable of a challenge, just sit and stare at the blank page. So there were definitely times where I could kind of feel, you just wonder like, have I written my last song? And then, you know, you trust the process, and it's like, no, I can still come up with ideas, and you kind of take a little pressure off yourself.
Page is scary.
Yeah.
It's really scary to have that white page. And you're like, all right, what do I do with it?
It really, yeah, it's very intimidating. And on that vein, how do you handle your inner critic?
Yes, it's something that I'm working on. And it's like, I feel like I have my little mini inner critic that will like critique a particular song. And then I have like my bigger inner critic that's like, what are you doing with your life? So it's, how do you manage both of those? I think with my mini critic, like I said before, I think just kind of forcing myself to just sit down and try it for a few minutes every day. And it's like, it doesn't have to be anything earth-shattering. It could be, you know, I get an idea for like a single line, or I, you know, return to a page in my notebook that maybe I had looked at, and just spend 5 or 10 minutes like brainstorming or editing or just something to keep me in that world, I think, and just trying to be like, okay, this is the process is enough, even if the outcomes are, you know, something that are harder to measure. And I feel like my larger critic too, I have to tell myself the same thing, that it's like, you have to enjoy the process. This is why we do this. This is why we write songs, because it's really enjoyable to express yourself. It's not about the Spotify plays or the, right, you know, album sales or whatever. Like, you really have to enjoy the process. And I've found that that's helped with both, yeah, like doubting my life's pursuit, and also just day in and day out saying like, well, I spent this time today and I don't really think that this is going to be the best song in the world, but that's okay, because I'll just try it again tomorrow and enjoy it.
Very cool.
I love that, because I mean, yeah, you're not going to write a song every single day.
Yeah.
Not,
yeah.
You know, or unless you're like Bernie Taupin or someone.
Yeah. Oh yeah. This is a curiosity question. Do you tend to physically write, or you use the computer? I don't know why that always enthralls me about how people do it.
It enthralls me too. And I would say up until maybe my last three or four songs, I was always handwriting, always in my notebook. And I'd have all these scribbles and I would go back to it. And then I went to a songwriter retreat a few months ago and I saw how many people were just using their computers or using their phones and like pulling up, they had Google Doc. And then that coincided with, one of the songs on my album was actually inspired by, I was part of this songwriter festival and I'm very introverted and I was surrounded by all these other people all the time. It was very overwhelming. And on the flight home, I processed it by pulling out my laptop because I didn't have my notebook. And so in my laptop, I just opened a Google Doc and started typing like all these phrases and all these things that I was sort of thinking about and just getting it out. And from then on, I've actually just sort of used Google Docs on my computer. And so I kind of like that because it's a little bit, first, it's easier to read than my handwriting. I like that I can copy and paste and play around with like, oh, maybe these two lines from this verse really belong up here. And it's just much easier to do that digitally now than it is to, you know, have to like erase and scribble stuff out. And so I feel like now I've made the transition to being a digital and it feels weird.
I think that's so interesting. Like, I think it is because we've been really like, I like to write. I like to feel it on the page. Yeah. But you're right. When you go and you actually sit down and you have to revise, it's like, do I write the whole thing back out again, or do I go just type it on a computer and be able to copy and paste?
I tend to start writing it, and then it goes to the computer anyway. So I'm like, why not just start on the computer?
Yeah.
With the album coming up, I know that a lot of the songs sound like different from each other. How do you describe your sound to our listeners or to new listeners?
That is $1 million question. And I should have a better answer for it. And I'm still grappling for it. So I usually say I am soulful folk pop, which is a lot of things, or Americana, you know, roots Americana, I think because Americana is so broad. But usually if I say Americana, people are like, well, what is that? And I have to say, well, it's a little bit of folk. It's a little, what I think, I think lyrically, I come from increasingly now in this new batch of songs, I come more from the folk persuasion, I think from the lyric standpoint. And then I think from a musical standpoint, I draw a lot more musical influence from the pop soul. Yeah.
Jake, so it's your trumpet kind of background?
A little bit, yeah. And, and because predominantly I'm a piano player, I've been learning guitar and there's a few songs that when you listen to the full album, you probably can pick out the songs that were primarily written on guitar versus the ones that were written on piano because I'm very limited as a guitar player and I can only play the chords that I can play. Yeah. And versus the ones I'm way more fluent on piano. And so I'll play, you know, much more complicated chord structure if I'm at home on the piano versus the ones on guitar. So I think that influences it well too. Like the more piano driven pieces, I think tend to have a little bit more of the R&B, the jazz, the soul flavor to them versus the straight ahead ones that I wrote on guitar, probably lean a little bit more towards like the folk Americana, like even a little bit country sneaks in there sometimes.
Awesome. I love that description. That it gives me a picture.
We have to take a minute to thank our sponsor, Brought Farm Designs. Brought Farm Designs offers the most adorable, handmade, washable, durable cat and dog bandanas and collar scrunchies. Our dogs look absolutely ravishing in theirs. Don't you want your dogs and cats to look as cool as ours? The coolest thing is that they hook onto the collar so you don't have to worry about them falling off or worry about them ending up in someone's mouth. They are perfect and they are adorable. Did I say they're adorable? Go to BF Designs 7. That's BFDESIGNS 7 on Instagram and send them a message and save 10% off your first order with the code Sisters in Song. Our dogs wholeheartedly approve.
So as a musician, we'd like to put this in here because this is very important in our world and I'm sure it is in everyone's world. How, when you're touring or working a lot, how do you maintain wellness physically and mentally?
Yes, that is a wonderful question. And I'm learning more and more all the time. So being on the road for me physically, I've learned, especially over the past like year or two, that I have to take care of myself. I have to try to get enough sleep. I have to try not to drink very much at shows. I've been very fortunate, knock on wood, that I haven't had vocal issues, and I play, I play a lot. And so thankfully I haven't had to deal with, too much impacting my voice, but sleep and, if you drink a little bit too much and then you have to get in the car the next day and it's a long drive to the next venue, it's just, I've learned like, I can't do it. As much as I couldn't do it when I was younger, I definitely can't do it now. So really taking care of, and it's hard, it's hard to eat healthily when you're on the road. And when I'm home, I'm a runner, and so I can stick with a really, really solid exercise routine when I'm at home. But when I'm not at home, when I'm on the road, it's much, much harder, depending on where I'm staying, to keep up like a good exercise routine. And so as much as possible, trying to prioritize the things that I would do at home, getting enough sleep, getting exercise physically, and then mentally, I cannot say enough about therapy and about therapy combined with, I've been seeking out, conversations or, being more vulnerable with other songwriters and other musicians, which has been amazing, because I think we all secretly have all the same insecurities and the same stuff where it's like, I'm looking at somebody and feeling envious of what they have. And it's not just me. Everybody looks at everybody else and thinks, I wish I was playing that gig, or I wish that I was on that festival, or I wish that I wrote that song. And once you realize, no, we all feel like that all the time. None of us feel like we deserve to be in the places that we are. So that's been a really helpful mind shift, and just being more open about it, about, trying to encourage conversations. There's an amazing podcast that I don't know if you two are familiar with, that's called The Other 22 Hours, that deals with, exactly the question of like, how do you maintain your sustainability of your mindset so that you can be a creative, productive human being? And so that's been really helpful. And therapy, getting to complain to my therapist every week about like, I'm feeling it again. I'm feeling the, creeping in, and just like kind of talking through what are the healthy, like productive ways to deal with both, both the lows and the highs, that we go through. It's like, you can't always feel super great about the highs, because that the lows are coming too. So it's how do you find a like a healthy moderation,
That's really why we like to ask that question too, is because I think people don't talk about it enough. Mm-hmm. And especially as like creative people, I think we tend to kind of hold our cards here, and we're like, okay, well, we want to open up that conversation more. So that it becomes more mainstream and more talked about. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, I love that.
Absolutely.
No, I love that.
So we would love to ask you the three questions. First is, who are the influences?
This, I would say, has shifted over time. I would say my earliest influences, as embarrassing as this is, I grew up singing along with Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston and all of the divas. That's how I learned to sing. I just loved, and you can probably hear it in my singing. I was obsessed, and this is a very dated reference, but I'm going to throw it out there. I think Gem and the Holograms, that cartoon from the 80s, literally is why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I was obsessed with it. I wanted to be her. She was an amazing singer and a songwriter, and that deeply shaped who I am as a performer.
I love that too. Yeah.
In fact, I was thinking I would love to start my own rewatch podcast of that show. And I'm like, I'm sure there's a very niche audience for that, but like, I would totally do it.
We would watch. We would listen.
Yes. And I want to cover so all of the songs from the episodes, and like, yes. it's a whole thing.
Oh, that would be so much fun.
So those are my earliest influences. And then I grew up listening to Lilith Fair era, Alanis Morissette and Fiona Apple and Sarah McLachlan and like all of these like iconic female singer-songwriters, right? That was like the era. So I think that really shaped a lot of my perception of what a female singer-songwriter could be, looking at all of them. And Lilith Fair was my first concert, I think, that I went to. And then I think today, my influences are all over the map. Like I listen to Stevie Wonder and Carole King and Laurel Canyon singer-songwriters. I listen to Kacey Musgraves and Chappell Roan and like some of the more, the pop and the Americana space. And so it's like, I really gravitate towards female artists who are amazing songwriters, who have a point of view and who are, we have really powerful voices. I think that's probably like the set of characteristics that
very cool. Yeah. And those strong women leaders, those kind of people we look up to. This is our hard question. Do you have a favorite lyric or song? What is it and why? And I know both of these questions kind of change all the time, which is, that's a good thing, because then we're always discovering new stuff. So what is your favorite?
I think I have to. The most immediate one that comes to mind is a Beatles reference. So Eleanor Rigby, and this one I remember. So I went to Berkeley in Boston for a couple semesters and studied songwriting. And I remember we were in class once and we were tasked with writing like a 2-minute song. And the example was Eleanor Rigby. And I just remember, and I wasn't a super Beatles person at the time. And it was kind of one of my first introductions to that, like that era of Beatles too. And I was just blown away by, and it's the line where she's, and I'm going to butcher it, but the thing about her having her face, the face that she keeps in the jar by the door, right? Yes. And just the economy and specificity of every line of that song is just so beautiful. And then the way that it widens, what I love and what I try to emulate in my own writing is how the verses are so specific and detailed. And then you have this beautiful, universal, simple chorus of like, oh, look at all the lonely people. And I just love the way that song hits on both of those things. And just that line about her face, the face that she keeps in the jar by the door, is just like, ugh.
Yeah. It's one of those songs that you relate to, but don't want to relate to.
Yeah.
A little bit, you know?
Yeah.
I also find like, as you listen to it, you're like, oh yeah. And you're kind of singing along. You're like, oh my God, this song is so sad.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Cause it's kind of a bop. It's like, yeah. Oh, it's got this like very upbeat. And then you're like, wait a minute, this is dark.
Yeah. Great, great song choice.
Yes, absolutely.
So what advice would you give to new songwriters and musicians?
I would say just keep at it every day. I think kind of like what we were talking about earlier, just even if it's just sit down, like just try to do it. And I think try to enjoy the process. I think that's probably my big, like that's what it boils down to, is if you can get to a point where you just love writing a song, whether that's sitting down and noodling at your instrument for 5 minutes a day, or, you know, you write an entire song, or what, you know, any place in between, or you write something and you hate it, like that's fine. I think try to enjoy the process. And this is something like I feel like, again, I have to tell myself all the time, like just enjoy the process, because I think I've always wanted to be a more prolific writer. And I think if you can get to the place where you're just writing constantly and it doesn't matter if it's good or bad, like you'll find your way to being prolific. Yeah, just like you said earlier, quieting that inner critic and just write all the time and don't worry if it's not all the most wonderful, beautiful, poetic thing in the whole world.
Yeah, we need to remind ourselves of that a lot, because we get to the point where we're like, I don't want to sit down and write because I feel like it's going to be terrible. Yeah.
Yes. So
we would love to have you share a song. What do you want to share with us and tell us all about it?
Sure. So I'm going to share a song called Motorcycle and Tattoo Sleeve, which is the lightest song. And that's actually the album closer. It's the last track on the new album. And the story that I like to tell about this one is, so I ended a long-term relationship several years ago, like before the pandemic. And for a while, we shared joint custody of our two elderly dachshunds. And what that meant is that we would, every few weeks, we would meet in the middle of where we were living, which was this town in Maryland called Sunshine, Maryland, which sounds like a beautiful, glorious place. It's a gas station with like one stoplight. That's where we would meet. And I started noticing changes in my ex-partner over time at these exchanges when I would see him. So first I noticed that he suddenly had like some tattoos where he didn't used to have tattoos. And he wasn't really the kind of person that you would think would have tattoos. And one time he sort of casually slipped it in that he's got a motorcycle now. And I was like, what's this about? And so what it got me thinking about all of the ways that we adapt and we change ourselves for whatever new relationship that we're in. And I've done it and I've seen other people do it. And so this is about kind of all the new interests and the hobbies and the quirks and the things where you're like, where's that coming from? Either in yourself or in the other person. And it's due to whatever relationship you're in. So yes, Motorcycle and Tattoo Sleeve.
I found out my ex now drives a motorcycle, and his left arm is covered in a giant tattoo sleeve. As I recall, he'd never drive a mile above the limit, and he'd pass out anytime someone would leave. Now I heard they've got a farm outside the city. He was never one to to spend much time outside. So it's no coincidence that tattoo matches the one that's on the arm of his new wife. Isn't this love? Oh, isn't this love? The things that you take on.
It's time for your shameless plug. And this is where you tell us where we can find your music, where you're touring coming up, when your new album's coming out.
Yes. Well, you can find me on streaming. Just look up Juliet Lloyd, two L's in Lloyd. And the singles that have come off the album are already there, and you can listen to, there's four of them actually that have already come out. And then the rest of the album will be out on October 25th. So follow me on Spotify and Amazon and Apple Music, wherever you get your streaming. I do have physical CDs also. So if you go to my website, which is julietlloyd.com, you can order a copy of the CD. I have some other fun merch and stuff that I'll be rolling out because it's such a visual album. The photography and the artwork and stuff is so cool. So I've got other fun stuff coming.
Cool.
We are so happy that you joined us this afternoon. We're super excited for the album. And
thank you for your, you know, taking time away from your vacation to come and chat with us. We're thrilled for you for the new album. And we will.
Perfect. Thank you both so much. This is such a treat.
That was super fun. Thank you, Juliet, for taking the time away from your vacation to chat with us.
Right? Costa Rica, I would have been like, sisters in song, who? Thank you so much for being on our show.
That was amazing. And I love just talking to her about mental health and how therapy is not a bad thing. And
well, and just like not
giving up on your dream. Like, you know, she took a break, but she felt that calling to come back to the writing. And I just think that that is really awesome. I'm super excited for the new album and just for her.
We want to say a special thanks to our sponsors, Brought Farm Designs, maker of adorable pet bandanas and scrunchies. Find them on Instagram at BFD7Designs. Remember, you can get 10% off your first order with the code SistersInSong. If you like this podcast, please be sure to like, rate, and review, and share with your friends and family. Why not even put us on your social media? If you're a musician and you want to chat with us, email us at NashvilleHotChickenMusic@gmail.com. We'll look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening to Sisters in Song.